Well, we're back, and we're joined by associate producer, Mr. Bob Fisher, who's going to take us on another destination worldview. And Bob's going to go into we're going to take us into Madrid, and the article is called "Art Meets Innocence in Madrid." Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. It went from 43, it's now up to 75, so we're all right.
Well, that's okay, because I'm just basking in minus 10 here.
Well, you know, we talked to Kimberly Riley, and that's where she was at, minus 10, so.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
I loved what, I want to get to Lake Placid. I haven't been there in many years.
Yeah, I'd love
great
to.
Great with all the,
I'd love to
know,
do that
winter
as well.
Activities really are fun activities.
Yeah, there's some great stuff, and it's interesting. They have I know you're into horses, and they have they have one of those events, as a 2-week event, in fact, which has been going on for a long time. Bob, interesting article, a marvelous article actually. But tell us a little bit about what this article is really about.
Well, I have to give you a little background. This was, I would call this a micro-travel experience. For me, it was a moment in time. And it was a moment in time in many points of view. I should point out that my wife and I were set to go to Madrid to go. I was doing an article in Spain, the lower part of Spain, the southern part of Spain. Unfortunately, we were to fly on September the 11th, and like so many millions of people, our plans, of course, changed. We went a month later and did the trip. What this article really is about, what it was for me, was a moment of hope as well. It takes place, and I'll explain for people that are listening, there is a wonderful museum in Madrid called the Thyssen-Bornemisza Museum, and if you go to the article on the website, the you'll get the direct link to, so I won't try spelling that word. But it's a very unique, smaller museum that is actually a renovated royal palace. And it has a collection of works, everything from early old masters to the 20th century, and worth up to 300 and, well, the renovations for the palace itself were $350 million, but the worth of the art is in the billions, $3 billion.
And you specifically refer to Room 23.
Yeah, and it was just one of those. When I travel, I'm the type of person who likes to observe, to people watch. And Carol was mentioning that in her piece too about people watching, and that is part of the fun of traveling, especially if you're in a new culture. And in museums and art galleries especially, I like to people watch. And the reason I like to do that, because that's what an art gallery and a museum really is. It's a repository of the best of human creativity and vision. And in this particular museum, I was looking at a painting. I came around the corner into this small room, and there were a group of people, adults, about four adults, standing behind a bench. Sitting on the bench were four or five immaculately dressed little Spanish children. And in the corner next to this wonderful painting called The Little Drummer was the docent of the museum, who was giving a lesson to the children on the painting. It was really an introductory lesson on art appreciation. And these kids were 5, 6, 7 at the most. And I stood behind them, and something drew me to it. And I think it probably was, first of all, the peacefulness of this museum, the peacefulness of the moment, and the innocence of these children, but also the painting and the way the woman was talking about and teaching these children about this particular art form.
And in fact, you mentioned that the only thing that brought you to the 21st century was the metal rim glasses.
Yes, exactly. And she was almost herself. She could have stepped out of the painting, one of those paintings. She was Madonna-like, figure. And it's somewhat important, too, that one of the things I noticed that she was pregnant, but she was in the early stages of pregnancy, and this the whole moment, the whole scene was pregnant with possibilities. And the reason I mention November the 11th is because, you know, like everybody else, we were just beginning to recover from that horrible event. And this micro-travel experience, this moment in time, these beautiful children, this moment of an absolute art experience, was the beginning of me personally coming to terms with what had just changed my world, our world. And it was through the medium of art. You well know that I often say that travel is about exploring the diversity of the human experience, whether
exactly.
it's human culture, human behavior, or the social principles within a culture that we visit. But while we are exploring the diversity of that human experience, at the same time we're discovering the commonality, the universality of the human experience. And that was what was occurring here. What I was watching was this young, very wise docent in the museum teaching these young children morality, teaching them human responsibility, teaching them that through the medium of the art, that there were very good reasons why we have to learn in societies to communicate well and effectively with each other and get along. And this is where art and storytelling come together, because what she was essentially doing, it was brilliant. She was asking these children to tell the story in their own words of the painting. And the painting, and very briefly, I'll just give your listeners, it's called The Naughty Little Drummer Player.
Right.
And it's a painting of a woman in a very domestic scene in Holland, very Renaissance, and there's a young child, a sister, in a cradle, a newborn, and the little boy has a drum. And obviously he had been playing the drum and been rebuked by his mother because he was waking up the baby. Well, you know, on the one hand, you really feel for the kid because he's got a new drum. He just wants to play the drum. Come on. And, you know, and the mother is kind of scolding him, and he's sort of tearful and saying, and he doesn't really understand what he did wrong. But this is what the woman in the gallery, this is a story within a story, what she was leading these children to do. And she would have them stand up and point at details and say, for example, one little girl would stand up and interpret what the mother was actually doing and what she was saying and how she was saying it. And it really what we try and do as travel journalists. We try to get inside the painting, if you like. We try to get inside the destination and the culture. And we try and hear the story and see the layers of experience. And then we come back and we try and tell our readers and our listeners about that.
Well, and you're saying raising children is something that parents shouldn't have to do alone. Community resources
yeah.
such as museums and art galleries are venues for putting parenting skills into practice.
Yeah, and if I may do a soapbox number here a little bit, as you know, I was a teacher for 32 years, and I believe very strongly in the fact that parents should not have to raise children alone. They should never have to do it alone. We, as members of society, we are all responsible for everybody's children, and that's why. And what I love about so many European countries where art is very much, and museums are very much public venues where parents take their kids. And there are venues in which the children really have an opportunity as well to get the kinds of life experiences that teach them what the human society is really all about. I remember I used to take student groups to Paris, and I remember once taking a group to the We took them to the
Louvre
first, yep. And then we took them to the wonderful Musée d'Orsay, which is a museum that is somewhat like the Thyssen-Bornemisza Museum, because it's very contextual. It's created in an old radio, an old train station. And what we did, my colleague and I, we said to our students, okay, you don't have to do anything in this museum, but what we want you to do is to go in there with us, and we want you to find one thing that really, really impresses you, that really makes you feel something strongly. What we were trying to do is to give them permission to use their own skills, to not say, oh, I got to follow the tour and I got to learn this and da 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 da, but to just use their own powers of observation. It turned out to be a wonderful technique, because every student came back, not only, of course, with one thing that they absolutely loved, but with many things. And oftentimes, and this is what I have to do, oftentimes it was a detail or some event that was happening in the museum. And this is what I found myself doing, is watching these Spanish people, these Spanish children, listening to this woman, participating with her, interacting with her, telling the story of this great master of Dutch painting. And it was that context that really explained why art galleries and museums and communities are so important. And at the end of the article, you may have noticed I give a series of links.
I was just going to mention that. There are a number of links, yes.
Yeah, favorite small art galleries and museums of mine. And, you know, that in which I think I say very conducive to observing human behavior and moments in time. And I'll give you just another example. In Florida, the Murakami Museum and Gardens in Delray Beach.
Japanese garden, yeah.
Exactly, Japanese. Who would have ever thought there was a Japanese museum and gardens in Florida in Delray Beach?
Exactly.
It's a wonderful place because, in part, the area was developed by immigrant Japanese farmers. But there are many types of museums like this and art galleries around the world. Frequently, you know, I think the average traveler tends to feel overwhelmed by a museum or an art gallery. We somehow are taught to believe that we're not really competent in, you know, unless we have a guide taking us around telling us all 500 details about that painting. Whereas if you simply say to someone, what do you like, you know? What do you see? What do you hear? What do you think's going on in this painting? And that was the woman doing. And then the people really get into it. But it's all about, and what those children were getting in this article was a basic lesson in human psychology. The little boy who was playing his drum, he initially didn't know that he was doing something today we would say inappropriate. But he had to learn in a way that he had to think of his sibling. Of course, we have the whole sibling rivalry thing. And you as a granddad, Roy,
you don't have to announce that worldwide.
You understand this dynamic. And you must see it, especially on family holidays.
Absolutely.
And what is really, and I've seen this happen before, of course, but the using art, especially when traveling, and you don't have to travel far. I mean, I've seen this in New York City, for example, and art galleries and museums are becoming so children-friendly. Actually, it's like Brian, you know, talking about the Terrell Museum in Alberta. Very, very much focused on all ages. Whereas in the past, museums and art galleries used to be reserved only for the upper levels in a society. Those people who had a classical education.
Exactly.
In other words, they kind of already knew what was in there. But the new the new state-of-the-art museum and art gallery today is far more democratic. And when you and I were in the Finger Lakes area, for example, and I was in Rochester, and there's a wonderful museum in Rochester called the Museum of Play. And it's a museum all about toys and children's experience and the whole human behavior of play. And there's some wonderful artistic exhibits there. They have archives of all those toys that you and I played with when we were children. But what that particular museum really is the story of of childhood development. And it's wonderful what they have done, just as, and I go back to the docent in the museum in Madrid. What she was really doing was she was respecting the children's ability to appreciate what they saw and felt and intuitively knew was going on. And these are fundamentally adult skills.
And what better time now than during the holidays for parents to get out when you're looking for things to do and visit museums and other places of educational benefit.
Right.
Bob, we've got to run, unless you had some last-minute thing you'd like to say.
No, I just think that the ideas that everyone has put forward today all connect. It really is. And it's probably what the holiday season is about, too. It's all about the interconnectedness of human society. And that's a great thing to explore.
Well, it was a super article and very informative, and we always enjoyed chatting with you. So we're going to run for now and look forward to your next visit.
Okay. Talk to you later.
And bye for now, Bob. Well, Bob Fisher, interesting man and great article. So if you go to our website, you can there's some photos there along with the article on our Destination Worldview. You can always check our program schedule by going to ttrn.com for the latest guest information. And next week, we're going to run a pre-recorded show so we can take a holiday break until the following Wednesday, the 28th of December. And until then, this is Roy Lowy wishing everyone a very Merry Christmas. And we'll talk to you when we come back.
You've been listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Visit our website at ttrn.com for complete show archives and interviews with guests like Chris Elliott, Peter Greenberg, Bob Fisher, Johnny Jett, and many other great travel professionals. Don't forget to tune in live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern for more Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends.